Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome to Late Night here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Full show tonight. Twins off tonight because, well, we took an L earlier today. Back in action tomorrow evening. We'll be broadcasting live from Target Field after the Twins play. But we appreciate you listening to us. And as we get the show started, because we're going to start with the Twins and we'll recap what took place at Target Field today. Twins lose 11-4 to the, 14-4 to the New York Mets. Well, I want to say congratulations to listener to the station, and he won the big contest that we had over a month ago, and that's John, okay? And it was so funny because he's one of us, right? He grew up here, went to school in Edina, and now he lives in New York. He lives in New York with his fiance, and no, they're not Mets fans, all right? So let me just mention that right now. I know we faced the Mets today, and they swept us, winning both games of the series, but John is not a Mets fan, okay? He's a Twins fan. He was at the game today. So today he was hanging out in the WCCO suite as he won that, as well as a trip to Florida. And he was hanging out with family, friends, and he even brought one of his school teachers, one of his old school teachers, Mr. Simpson from Edina. And I met all of them today. I know that he met Corey Heppala. He met Paul and Jordana earlier. But we had a good time, and we enjoyed meeting John and hanging out with him and really enjoyed meeting his family. Unfortunately, okay, we didn't get the W. So I told him, sitting there in the suite with a lead, I said, John, if we don't win this game, should I blame you? Should I blame you? And you know who John resembles? Do you know what everybody that was sitting there in the suite, who they all said that he looked like? And I took a glance at him and I said, I see the resemblance. Guess who he looked like?
I have no idea.
A member of the Twins.
Oh, really?
Take a stab.
Boy.
Just take one guess.
Polanco.
Nope. Did you say that John looked like Jorge Polanco? Oh, my goodness. John from Edina looked like Jorge Polanco.
Why is that so funny, Lake? I don't understand.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. John resembled Trevor May.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, that's not good.
He looked like Trevor May. And so it was funny because a couple of people mentioned it, and I looked at him, and then his teacher, Mr. Simpson, said, look at him. He looks like Trevor May. And then he gave me the look. I can't remember if he had a hat on. I think he had a hat on, but then he took the hat off for us. And I was like, yeah, you do resemble Trevor. And listen, when they pointed that out to me, that was when Trevor May came into the ball game. And I had a little bit of a queasy, nauseous pit in my stomach.
You got this all wrong. You were in the suite with Trevor May, and John was out there pitching, which explains a whole lot about the Twins game today.
Oh, my goodness. Does it? Does it really?
Well, I don't know.
All right, let's get to the recap here, and we'll get to Trevor May here next segment. The Twins and Mets were back in action today for the finale of their two-game set at Target Field. Jason Vargas on the mound for the Mets facing Martin Perez for the Twins. After a scoreless first, Miguel Sano helped the Twins get on the board.
And the 1-2 pitch, line to left to base hit. Around third, Kepler heading home. He will score. RBI single, Miguel Sano, 1-0 Twins.
Hey, Miguel Sano with an RBI single. So that was awesome. The team traded solo home runs in the third from Ahmed Rosario and Nelson Cruz before the Mets pushed the tying run across in the fourth. An inning later, it was Mitch Garver putting the Twins on top again.
Garver 0-for-1. Hits this ball high in the air, left center field. Conforto to the wall. Go! Garver connects and puts the Twins back on top. 3-2. Garver's 15th of the year.
Give me some Garv sauce, baby. Give me some Garv sauce. Unfortunately, things started to unravel in the seventh thanks to a three-run homer from Dominic Smith. And in the eighth, the Twins' defense could not stop bleeding.
Two on, two out, and the 1-0 pitch, a swing and a fly ball, left field deep. Eddie Rosario going back with the play on the track. He's got it.
No,
he dropped it. He dropped the ball. One run is in, two runs will score, and the Mets lead 7-3. That is a terrible error.
I had that dramatic pause because I didn't know if I wanted to blame John or if I wanted to blame Trevor May in that particular instance. Nonetheless, that was part of a six-run inning for the Mets, and things only got worse in the ninth.
11-4 New York in the ninth. As he hammers one to center, coming in Cave, he'll dive and miss it. It gets by him and finds the wall. And who knows where Rosario's going to end up. One is in, two are in. Rosario to third, he'll be held. As Cave, with a diving attempt, could not make the catch. Nobody backing up. 13-4 New York. That's a two-run triple for Rosario.
Yeah, that was those highlights this evening or this afternoon, they weren't stellar. All right? There's no sugarcoating it. It wasn't stellar. I think that in this two-game set with the Mets, you could say all the way around, I felt like it was sloppy. I felt like there was some sloppy play last night, clearly, and today was another occasion in which they just didn't look like the Minnesota Twins that we watched all year long. But the Twins fall by the final score of 14-4, and Rocco talked about the collapse in the final three innings.
Well, obviously, a lot happened in the final three innings, and none of it looked really good. I mean, occasionally, I think we're going to see situations like that. You're right. We were right in the game, and I think competing very well, and Martin threw the ball well, and I think we were in a good spot, and then the wheels kind of fell off in a few different ways, and again, there's probably more. There's a lot that went on. So to try to sum it up really nicely, I don't think we're going to be able to do that. It's one that we probably just want to move on from and get ready for tomorrow.
Hey, did you hear that? Rocco said, it's one that we're probably not going to summarize nicely. That means I'm pissed. That's what that means. Rocco just, he didn't say that, but he said, you can't summarize it nicely, meaning I can't clean this up. I can't make it pretty. This was ugly.
Yeah, and for a manager who we have not heard get emotional or frustrated or heated at all this year in post-game interviews, that was as close as we've come.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. Rocco also addressed his struggling bullpen.
When you play good, close games, you can't always assume that, in a one-run game, you're going to hold a one-run lead. You want to, and you expect, that's the expectation, that you're going to go out there and do it. But you know that it's difficult. We need to find ways to, give ourselves, probably a few more runs and give ourselves the ability to, have some leeway. I mean, it is difficult when there's, not a ton of leeway, but that's going to happen. You're going to play close games, and we got to find ways to win the games.
Another concern for the Twins was their shaky defense, which Rocco also addressed.
Obviously, you're concerned in the fact that, maybe we're not making all the plays or doing the things that we want to do or need to do to win the game. Of course, we want to play better. We want to win. We want to execute is really where we want to be. It's not necessarily reacting to what we're doing and just simply looking at the results. It's kind of digging into it a little bit and seeing why. But, the season kind of undulates a little bit in a lot of different ways. And, obviously right now not playing our best baseball, but we luckily have the ability to turn that around tomorrow.
No question. Right now the Twins are not playing their best baseball. I think that they will get back on track, but it's you got to finish it off, man. It's one thing to start the season the way that they did, but now that you're in the second half of the season, now that it's after the All-Star break and you're about to face a good opponent in the Oakland A's, you got to finish this bad boy off. Overall, Rocco, he says the team did not look like themselves today, and I agree.
No, it didn't. And, we're in firmly in the middle of the season and moving towards we're in the second half. And the fact that we haven't seen many games like that, it's obviously a good sign. But, there are always going to be a handful of games like that over the course of a year. And things, they didn't just not go our way. I mean, like you said, we just didn't execute and do the things that we needed to do to win today.
All right, so that's how it ended. 14-4, the Twins fall and get swept by the New York Mets. The Mets. And now we'll be facing the Oakland A's. So we look forward to just turn the page, man. That's what you have to do right now. You have to turn the page on this series. It was, well, now we're in a situation, DJ, where it's your first three-game losing streak of the year. We've been saying this for the last couple of months. Only team in Major League Baseball that has not lost three consecutive games. Now that is no longer the case.
Yeah, and I think really, sure, that's disappointing that it's been this long in the season, but I think it was like May when the only other team that hadn't won three or hadn't lost three in a row lost their third in a row. So the Twins have been holding this gem for months now, for like maybe going on 3 months of not losing three in a row. And look, we knew it was going to happen at some point. So I think it's worth a quick round of applause for a Twins team that it's the middle of July and it's the first time they've lost three all year. That's impressive. So they should be congratulated. And now, like Rocco said, it's time to get to work tomorrow, and, you know, what's next for this team?
Yep. I will address the three-game losing streak because I have some thoughts on that, but I also have some thoughts in regards to Trevor May that I don't think you want to miss. We'll get to that next year on Late Night. All right, welcome back to Late Night here on News Talk 830 WCCO. I don't want to waste any time on this because we're going to have a Tony Gragielko fight promoter. He's going to join us coming up here at 9:30. But let's just dive right back into Twins, and let's address a couple of different things, okay? The first thing is that I'm actually not alarmed by the three-game losing streak. I'm not, because like DJ said last segment, we knew that it was going to happen. You're not going to go through an entire Major League Baseball season without losing three consecutive games. If you do, you're one of the greatest teams to ever play. Seriously. And when I look at the Twins, it's a really good team. Do we have our flaws? Yes. There's no question. We're not a perfect baseball team. Okay? So did I anticipate at some point in time it was going to happen? Yes. I thought it was going to happen way before now. All right? We're talking July 17th, and you just now lost your third consecutive game. So props to the Minnesota Twins for going this deep into a baseball season without losing three consecutive games. So props to them. When everybody else had lost that many consecutively a while back. Heck, we had the Houston Astros at a point last month. They had lost seven consecutive games. They're still one of the best teams in Major League Baseball. So it was bound to happen. And other than today's eventual blowout, 14-4, the two prior games that you had, you lost by one run. All right, both of those games, you lost by one. So that doesn't bother me as much in regards to losing three consecutive games. What is alarming to me is that Trevor May is responsible for two of the losses, okay? And this is not me sitting here at the microphone trying to crush Trevor May. That's not what it's about. Trevor May has, over the course of the last month, he's had a couple of moments in which you say, okay, all right, let's come on, Trevor May. Show me something. You're showing me something right now, right? But he's also had numerous moments in which he hasn't been appealing to watch on the mound. That's just the reality of it. Okay, I'm not making this stuff up. You guys watch the games just the same way that I watch the games. He gave up the home run that enabled the Indians to win on Sunday, and he gave up the lead today with the three-run shot to Smith in the seventh. I've been concerned with when he comes into the ball game, and that hasn't changed for, realistically, the majority of the season. And I'm not trying to crush him because I have said the entire season that the guy out of the bullpen that I trust, and every time he comes into the ball game, I have no fear. And that's Taylor Rogers. None. When Taylor comes into the game, it's like, hey, let's go. Let's go time, right? So this is not me trying to crush Trevor May. But the reality is we have to have him be better. He has to be. He has to step up. he has to he was after the ball game today, he acknowledged and knew that he needed to be accountable for what was taking place, and he faced the media. There's no question. This was Rocco on May in the curveball execution.
You know what? I think it comes. We talk about just executing. I mean, he's thrown many good ones. He certainly is using that pitch more, and it's a good pitch. I think it comes down to just executing when he's out there, and when he has made a pitch that maybe he hasn't wanted to make. You know, the opposing hitter's been ready for it and has put a couple of swings on it, but he's thrown the ball well. I mean, Trevor's a guy that we've relied on and who's put us in position to win games by holding really tight leads and gotten big outs for us. I think we could go back and point to a lot more times that he's gone out there and thrown the ball well and gotten big outs than not.
And he has gotten some big outs. I agree with that. There's no question. But we do know that in the business of sports, you know what stands out the most? Those big home runs that you give up and those big spots where you don't come through, that's going to stand out as well. Trevor May, post game. May on where he wanted to pitch to Smith.
I mean, an inch lower, maybe. He just swung through the same pitch. It's a little bit hard to explain how that happens twice in the last 3 days, especially in that situation. I was fully ready just to strike him out and go on to the next guy. I knew I was going to even start the next guy. I was ready. And got a little delay for a second and then just didn't go my way. But I'm looking at when to use the curveball and, how I've been using it, if it's just been the wrong usage whatever it is. But adjustment's going to be made. But in terms of feeling good and throwing strikes and getting ahead of guys, I'm still doing that too. It's just it's gut punch when you feel so good. You're getting ahead of guys. You're making the pitches over and over and over, guys, you want. And sometimes they just earn it. Usually they don't earn it this many times in a row, though.
I am not somebody that Trevor May has to worry about. Like, I'm rooting for Trevor May. I wrestle because I want the Twins to be successful. Okay, so there's not an issue there. After a while, though, the fans are going to you could sense the frustration today. You really could. And I think that this is only the second time this season that with a really good ball club, okay, a first-place ball club, that I have sensed frustration from the fans. The first time was when Miguel Sano had that terrible stretch where it was strikeout after strikeout. He should have just changed his name to K because he was striking out so much. And fans were just livid. They were over it. I felt it today. That was only the second time. So over the course of a long baseball season, if you only have a couple of times where your fans are a little bit frustrated, then that's a good sign. But you get sent it today at Target Field. Let's take a quick phone call from Karen in Minneapolis. What's up, Karen?
Hey, when you said you were going to talk about Trevor May, I couldn't believe it because I'm so frustrated with him. I can't stand when he comes into a game, just like the stuff you just said.
Yeah, and this is the thing. I feel like, Karen, we're at the point where he has to rectify the situation. They have to figure it out because the only other option is if they're going to try to make a move to add another arm to the bullpen. But we don't, like, as we sit here today, we can't necessarily say that that is going to be the case. Now, we anticipate that the Twins would be buyers, but I'm not going to even offer up to try to even insinuate that I can get inside the mind of a Derek Falvey.
Right. No, absolutely. I agree. But when I heard him coming in the game, I thought, oh, well, here we go, another home run, and we're going to mess up the game. And it's exactly what he did. And, when you just played that clip from him, it's like, He didn't seem to really own his botches.
Yeah, I feel like he was remorseful today in terms of like, I felt like it. And he hopped on Twitter, and you could. I'll say this, Karen. I felt like or feel like tonight he's down. He feels a little bit down about his performance. I feel like he feels like he let down not only his teammates but the fan base. So I do feel that.
Okay.
All right.
I think it's okay for him to feel that. Come on, get your act together.
Yeah, I hear you. Thanks for the phone call from Karen in Minneapolis. Clearly today was a day in which a lot of fans were frustrated, and I want to have a moment where I feel confident when he comes to the ball game. That confidence I feel in Taylor Rogers, I want to feel it with other members. of that bullpen. I really do. And right now with Trevor May, I'm not at that point. All right, coming up next, we call him Tony G. Tony Grigelko, fight promoter, does a fabulous job of getting everybody prepared for some of the big fights here that take place in the great state of Minnesota. We're going to talk to him about Caleb Truex, Jamal James, and a nice golf tournament that's taking place coming up on August the 3rd. We're going to get back to your Twins-related phone calls next hour, but we'll talk boxing coming up next here on Late Night. All right, welcome back to the show. It's time for Late Night here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And our next guest who's going to join us for a couple of segments for the next 30 minutes, I've actually known Tony G, as everybody likes to call him. His name is Tony Grigelko, a big-time fight promoter here in Minnesota. I've known Tony now for, I want to say, it's been about 8 or 9 years.
Yeah, right about that.
Yeah, because it was a couple years before I left to go to Kansas City. And we met and made a connection, and then I started going and supporting not only you, but Caleb Truex and his fights, and we just become good friends ever since. But thanks for coming down to Late Night here on News Talk 830 WCCO. This is not your first time, though, coming down to the station. Why don't you tell a story about somebody you connected with many years ago?
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having me down. Like, I've been down here several times. It's kind of a throwback for me to be down here. Dark and I had a very good relationship. Dark was a huge boxing fan. So, yeah, I've been down here several times. He used to have me down every couple of months, you know, chop it up about boxing, talk a bit about poker and cards. And, yeah, it was just cool, man. He was one of the greatest.
He was one of the really great radio guys here in town, great personality. And he really got along with so many different people. And even though at that time when I was a K-Fan and he was here, we bonded, we connected over horse racing.
Yeah,
and then clearly, you know, he had a love for like late night NBA basketball games. We're talking basketball and clearly the fight game as well. So he's somebody that we're always going to miss, the great Dark Star. And I'm honored to be in his old time slot to be talking sports on WCCO.
Yeah, nothing's really changed here. This is still Dark's place, man. It's pretty cool.
Absolutely. All right. So let's talk about a few things here tonight. And I wanted to start with just, we made a connection because I value and like boxing, and I do like MMA and UFC and stuff like that. And I even, like, over a week ago, I went to a UFC out in Vegas, 239. I met John Jones and Francis, and you know, Ngannou and stuff like that, whatever. But my heart is always going to be with boxing. Like, that's from a historical standpoint, and you think about all the greats that have been a part of boxing, it's legendary, and I'm going to always love that. So we connected through the sport of boxing. Boxing in Minnesota, man, it's something that so many people are hyped about. They're into it, and we've seen the great crowds at the Armory and the resurgence of that facility. Just kind of talk about what it is about the sport of boxing that so many fans here in Minnesota love.
Yeah, well, you know, boxing here in Minnesota's got a rich history. Back in even the early 1900s, we had some of the best fighters, you know, to come out of Minnesota. You know, some of the best fighters in the world. But lately, I mean, it's red hot. You know, guys like Jamal James, fighters like Robert Brandt, young fighters like David Colon, who's turning pro, who's just lit up the amateurs, you know, of course. And then Caleb Truex, who's done nothing but overachieve his whole career. You know, his kid's a sensation. Nobody can talk enough about Caleb, but a kid, you know, graduated from University of Minnesota, walked his way up through the amateur rankings, did a little bit of tough man tournaments, and of course, you know, worked his way through the pros and became a world champion. So there's, you know, there's nothing more to be said about that kid.
Yeah, it's a rich tradition, like you just mentioned, and I don't know what it is about just overall just the sport that attracts so many fans, but it's absolutely taken off, and we've seen so many really good fights and cards here lately at the Armory. Okay, and it's been the attachment of the Armory and Fox Sports 1. Talk a little bit about Fox Sports 1 just really being attached to coming to Minnesota and being a part of these fights.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at Al Haymon has been a cornerstone of boxing over the last 10, 15 years. He's really brought this PBC brand that's been broadcast on Fox Sports 1. And then, of course, Ned Abdul and Rich Richardson and the guys over at the Armory, what they've did to remodel the place, and then, of course, push boxing back upon us is just amazing. And these guys are VIPs, man. They're amazing. But yeah, I love where we're going with boxing. And not just Fox or FS1 or Fox Sports 1, but now August 31st with the Caleb Truex fight, the rematch between Caleb Truex and Peter Quillen. We're bringing Fox nationally. I mean, they're the biggest broadcast station in the world, you know, Fox. So it's amazing. It's amazing what we're doing here.
Yeah, that's a step up because Fox Sports 1, that's a major deal, but Fox is even bigger. That's the big deal there. So let's just go back a ways. So before we even talk about, you know, moving forward with the sport and the art of boxing, talk about what led you to the sport of boxing. Like, how did you become the boxing promoter that you are today?
Yeah, well, you know what?
So give me some insight. I've never asked you this off air.
Right, yeah. No, it's cool. I grew up around boxing all my life. My father boxed and been exposed to boxing. Loved to compete. I grew up wrestling, boxing, fighting. When I was a kid, I had a lot of fights in bars, you know, so I had a lot of fun with that. I had a really good amateur career. I was sidelined with an injury, but I still continued forward, had a few pro fights, and I just wasn't the same fighter. My elbow was, I had 15 screws, two plates, and a wire holding my arm together for many years. And
the injuries take their toll, man.
Yeah, yeah. So I never was able to really blossom into anything special, but the passion and the love for boxing and I guess the ability to really network and build a persona around that, I was able to leverage that into a boxing promotional deal. At the time, Scott Ledoux was still alive, the late, great Scott Ledoux, probably one of the best fighters, you know, to come through Minnesota. Scott asked me, he said, "Hey, kid, you know, you're well-spoken, you know, you're educated, you got a little pizzazz to yourself, you know, you thought about being a boxing promoter." And I was like, yeah, you know, at the time, I think Joey Abell was just coming up. I was really interested in working with Joey Abell. And so I was like, yeah, I'll jump into the promotional ring and throw my hat in the ring per se, you know. And so I did my first event, November 17th, 2006 at the Target Center, which was a big, big nut to bite off, you know. Knocked it out of the park. We were able to leverage that into Anthony Bonsante, Matt Vanda, which at the time was the highest grossing boxing event in Minnesota history.
Yeah, I know those names.
Yep. Incredibly well attended, and yeah, the rest, as I say, is history. We brought Mike Tyson in, not for a fight, but, you know, co-promoted with Mike Tyson in several events.
I came back to town for that too. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, yep. That was awesome.
That was at the cool. Target Center.
Yeah. Yep. It was awesome. I met Tyson back when I was in Vegas a few months later. Actually, I apologize, it was probably a year later, and he came up, he talked to me, he's like, "Yeah, I remember, you know, working with you," and it was cool, man. It was pretty awesome because as a kid, you know, everybody liked Sugar Ray Leonard, you know, but he was I was a little too young for Sugar Ray Leonard, Hearns, the rest of the guys. You know, I was born in 77, you know, they probably were at their prime in 84, 85. Well, when Mike Tyson was coming up, that's when Mike Tyson's Punch-O came out. I mean, Tyson was my guy.
You knew about that, yeah.
So for me to be able to work with Mike Tyson was just unbelievable.
No question about it. We're talking to fight promoter Tony Gragielko on Late Night here on News Talk 830 WCCO. I do want to say rest in peace to one of the greats that recently just passed away on Sunday, and that's Sweet Pea.
Parnell
Whitaker, yep. Who passed away at the age of 55, and it was an automobile accident. He was actually, I think he was a pedestrian walking and ended up getting hit by a vehicle, but 55, it's way too young, but he was one of the greats, man. You talk about a guy that was really good, and you know, a lot of times, or not even a lot of times, but there's certain individuals that are so good that they'll say pound for pound, and he's one of those individuals that they utilize that statement for, the pound for pound best boxer.
Oh, absolutely. You know, he was the unified. I think at one time, well, I guess I don't know what the stats are on his unification, but he was, if you look at talent, I'd probably say you got Ray Leonard, who I spoke about earlier. Floyd Mayweather it's hard to not say Floyd Mayweather is not one of the best of all time, but Parnell is right there with all three of them guys. You could put him, could be 1A, 1B, and 1C.
Olympic gold medalist, know. I think, too.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, he was part of that 84 team.
84, yep, he was 84.
Yep, yeah, with, you know, Evander Holyfield and the rest of these guys that just lit up amateur boxing then.
Other than Muhammad Ali, I think that my second favorite boxer that I watched growing up as a kid was Sugar Ray. Although, when I met Sugar Ray a little bit later in life, probably maybe around like 15 years ago, I was dating a gal, and Sugar Ray, I had my back turned, and Sugar Ray's kind of slick and slippery. He's like trying to move in on my girl. I'm like, "Sugar Ray, I know I can't fight you, but come on now. You can't do that to me." Yeah, that was pretty funny.
He's a good-looking cat. Yeah,
he's a character, too. He is a smooth character. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break, come back with Tony G. Want to talk about, you know, Caleb Truex and Jamal James, who won his fight at the Armory this past Saturday. You're talking about a guy that's up and coming and on the rise. he's right there. He's getting close, I believe, to a title, world title bout or shot at one. I want your thoughts on that. But also a great event, a great golf tournament that we're going to talk about as well that's coming up on Saturday, August 3rd. We'll continue the conversation coming up next here on Lake Night. All right, welcome back to Lake Night here on News Talk 830 WCCO. We got boxing promoter Tony Gragielko. He is in studio hanging out with me. Tony G Presents. So whenever you see Tony G Presents, you know you got a great event coming up. Speaking of great events, we'll get back to the fight game here in a second, but do want to mention this. The first annual Minnesota Combative Sports Golf Tournament is coming up Saturday, August the 3rd at Majestic Oaks Golf Club. Tell me a little bit about that. I just gave you the where it's at. Give me the why.
Yeah, so we were looking for an idea. So I'm part of the Centennial Wrestling Booster Club or Centennial Wrestling Association, and you know, we're always looking for ways to fundraise. And of course, I'm part of the fight game. So mm-hmm. I was looking for a way to kind of combine the two, leverage the two, and so we came up with the Combative Sports Golf, Minnesota Combative Sports Golf Hall Golf Tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the idea behind it is we're trying to raise some money for the Wrestling Association and raise some money for our boxing gym. We're going to be moving our gym from Coon Rapids to Blaine. There's a lot of incurred expenses, and you know, when you're dealing with a nonprofit and a small gym like our boxing gym, you know, it's important to try to reach out and really gain some momentum and some money on that.
No question about it. So it's taking place Saturday, August the 3rd. I mentioned a minute ago, Majestic Oaks Golf Club in Ham Lake. For more information, you can register online today at centennialwrestling.org. I'm going to be hanging out that day. Also, world champion Caleb Truex is going to be hanging out. And UFC Sean Sharp, who I met a few years ago. It's been a while since I've seen him. He's going to be hanging out. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Four-man teams, $100 a golfer, $400 per team. The entry fee includes the balls, 18-hole scramble, cart, buffet dinner, silent auction. I mean, in a bunch of different contests. So we'd love to have you come support a great cause. Once again, it's the first annual Minnesota Combative Sports Golf Tournament, Saturday, August the 3rd at Majestic Oaks Golf Club in Ham Lake. For more information, please register online at centennialwrestling.org. So it's going to be a great day of golfing. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to support. I can't say that I'm going to get on the range and just be like, you know, out on the course and I'm hitting balls, but I'm going to go hang out with you guys, man, and have some fun that day.
I appreciate it, man. It's cool. We, Ricky Foggy, Minnesota gopher, great, probably the greatest quarterback.
We're good friends. Yeah.
Foggy's coming out to the event too. So man, it's gonna be slamming, man.
See, Ricky's gonna try to take it all serious, right? He's gonna think he's Tiger Woods out there all of a sudden. All right, so that's taking place. Let's get back to talking about boxing. And Jamal James has won on Saturday night at the Armory, and this kid is pretty damn good.
Yeah, he's incredible. I'm a big Jamal James fan. I mean, I liken him to a 70s disco dancer with boxing gloves, man. He's so slick in the ring. He's got this crazy funk to him, man. I don't know if there's a smoother cat in the ring right now in boxing today. I mean, you let this kid box, you can't beat him.
How close do you think that we are, though, to him getting a shot at a world title?
Yeah, well, I think you're going to see something real soon. I think he's right on the cusp of a big fight. I don't handle that part of his career. I don't really handle that. You know, that's the guys at Circle of Discipline, of course, Al Haymon, you know, and such. I think, you know, he's probably a fighter, maybe two away, but I mean, he's calling for it. He wants it. I just personally like to see a little bit more, maybe, you know, a top 10, see how he does, you know, gets a grinder, a top 10 type of guy. But I tell you what, this kid's going a long ways. This kid's spectacular.
When it comes to talents coming out of Minnesota, would you say that he's one of the best that you've seen in some years?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. He's like I said, this kid might be one of the best boxers in boxing today. You let him get his groove, he's tough to beat.
I hear you. Well, a guy that is, he's such a good dude, man, and I'm a big-time fan of his, and it's Caleb Truex. His next fight is coming up August the 31st at the Armory, and you said it last segment on Fox. Talk a little bit about the rematch between him and Peter Quinlan, because the first fight, well, it never really happened because in that first round, there was the headbutt, and it was a big, nasty gash, and they had to stop the fight. It was, it was ruled no contest. Talk a little bit about them fighting on August 31st.
Sure. Well, you know, the hype on the fight, I mean, we've been talking about this fight for years. We, you know, Caleb went down. He had an opportunity to spar with Peter Quillen, many years ago. He came out of camp, you know, basically putting a whooping on him, and the guys were handling the camps. All called me and said, "Listen, I mean, Caleb just put it down. You know, he's just tearing this boy up. We got to send him home." And so ever since that fight, we've been trying to put this fight together. And you know, there's a lot of politics and movement and boxing, and we were never able to arrange it until recently, until this last fight.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, so we had a great camp. We had things going our direction. The night was a weird night, though. You know, the broadcast got delayed with the Mets game and the Braves, I think, or something. It was, you know, so we didn't even get into the ring until almost 12:30. The crowd was the crowd was hyped up, but the crowd was getting tired out. We were there forever, so it made for an interesting night. Then when the bell finally rang, we went out. You know, they exchanged blows midway through the first round. We had a massive cut, and from there, it started bleeding, and it was terrible.
You know? Yeah, so you had to stop it. Yeah.
Yeah, we had. I mean, you know, situations like that, nobody wants to see anybody get hurt. Nobody wants to see anybody get a cut that opens up to where it's unsealable. And you know, we have an opportunity now to do this thing again, and the hype and excitement is right back where it was at. You know, in fact, the tickets went on sale at the MNArmory.com, I think, on Saturday night. And mm-hmm. out of the gate, it's been hot. I mean, this everything's moving quick. Minnesota fans love Caleb Truex. So, you know, Minnesota people love Minnesota people.
Yep.
You know, and the excitement behind this next one is going to be fantastic.
It's going to be awesome. Make sure that you support Caleb and support the Armory and support Boxing Minnesota here. August 31st, make sure that you get those tickets now, and let's sell that bad boy out. All right, we got 2 minutes. 2 minutes left of the show. And, well, Tony, he brought his entourage with him, okay? And he's got a couple of youngsters in here, his son Jack and his buddy Chase. And I didn't know that this was going to happen, but they're going to do something called Stump Henry. So they're going to stump me, and I'm sure that they're going to do a great job at it. But those guys are going to ask me a question. Is that what's going on here? What's going on here?
Yep, Stump the Henry. So we got Chase up close to the mic. We got Jack up close to the mic. Ask him the question, guys.
All right, ask me the question, guys.
What does WCCO stand for?
Ooh!
We knew you were going to get you on that one, boy.
Am I allowed to go to Wikipedia?
Nope.
We got you.
Would Chase... I have no idea. That's a great question. The call letters! I should know this.
You don't know
this? Yeah. It was great. They asked me when we were sitting outside there, you know, waiting to go on here. They asked me, "What does WCC stand for?" WCCO, and I was like, "Man, I don't know."
What you got, guys?
Washburn Crosby Company.
Washburn Crosby Company. Pretty awesome, eh?
That's a great job, man. That is a
Stump the Henry.
Did you know this was coming?
I did not know that was coming, but we covered this on one of the first shows. I think we had a story and we talked about
this. I clearly tuned you out.
Well, I clearly tuned you out. I talked to the guys from Hubbard, and they said this was covered in your orientation.
No. You mean intercom.
Oh, intercom. No, I apologize. Oh, intercom. Oh.
See, now I stumped you guys.
Oh, dang it. Now I got stumped. Stumped to Tony.
Hey, Tony G, man, that was awesome. Hey, Chase, Jack, I owe you guys one.
Hey, brother, have us back.
I appreciate it. Yes, we will absolutely do that. All right, coming up next, we'll get back to Twins baseball because I want calls on Trevor May. We'll do that next.